In hearing just preparation, the Holy Spirit, I know, has put this together. I want to pray over us to begin with. Father, as we've worshiped you and we've worshiped you, Lord Jesus, and told you how much we love you. We thank you that we love you because you first loved us and that we have experienced that love. We thank you, Father, you put us into a family that we call you Father God, or when I pray, Daddy God. But Father, I just thank you that we are a family and that we are giving to one another. And Father, tonight I thank you that the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. He is the anointing. He is the one that is the revealer of truth. So Father, I ask the Holy Spirit, that anointing within each one of us, that our ears are open, our eyes are bright to see, and our hearts are receptive to what you want to put into each one of our hearts, the deposit that you want to make into each one of us individually. So, Father, we just thank you that we're here as your children to hear what you would say to us through your Spirit. And, Jesus, we thank you that you've provided it for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The name of this is the Lamb of God, Jesus, our humility. You know, I've done a lot of study in this year about the Lord is my shepherd. And he is covenanted. He has a covenanted name. It's Jehovah Roi, and it's shepherd. But he became a lamb. He became a lamb so he would know, I think, part of it was how to shepherd us. In Hebrews 2, 14, it's not on your paper, but Hebrews 2:14, it said that he became a partaker of flesh and blood so he could be like his brethren. And in Hebrews 2:17, it said it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. So actually he became a lamb, and we know that he lived on this earth. Have you ever given any thought to the fact he was God Almighty in heaven? He was in heaven. He had deity powers. And he decides to come to the earth. He is before the earth was even formed. It says that Jesus was a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. He knew he was going to be slain. But he came to this earth as a lamb. And he came as a baby. Can you imagine? Just think about it a minute. He was Almighty God, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, eternal, holy. And he comes in the form of a little baby, and he is perfectly helpless. I mean, he humbled himself just to be like us, to take on a flesh and blood body. And then we find out that, of course, he went to the cross and he became the lamb on the tree. He suffered for us there on the tree, and he is the lamb. So one of the things I want you to know is that in Revelations, the lamb is mentioned, the word lamb, the lamb, is mentioned 30 times. And that is very powerful in the fact that lamb, we're supposed to, you find out that there's a great amount of worship around him in Revelations 5. And you find out, oh, the 24 elders, they fall down on their face, and you've got seraphim circling them saying, holy, holy, holy. But it's to the lamb. And it's the one who humbled himself on the cross. So we're going to find out that humility, his humility is in us. It is in us. When we got born again, it was imparted to us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. For those who were in prayer, you can tell that we're flowing. We're flowing here. It says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest for your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Okay, I want to go back and look. I want you to see what I focused on here. Twice, my yoke, meek, and rest for your souls. I don't know what you think about yokes. Like if you visualize anything. When I was a child, really, truly, for some of you, it's going to be, are you kidding me? There were actually wagons that would be on the main highway in South Carolina with mules, and they would have yokes, and they would look like leather, okay? But this is not the yoke we're talking about. This is a yoke that was for oxen. It went across the back of two necks of oxen. And then there was a piece of wood that went underneath, and the two would, each one would have this collar, so to speak, underneath, but one piece of wood on top. And that would be a yoke. Now, what was Jesus as he was with his father and growing up? And then he was a
carpenter.
He made these yokes. He was very familiar with the yokes. And the people of that day would know what he was saying, that these were yokes that would be placed on oxen. And so the oxen was a servant. That's what I want you to get. The oxen was a servant. And so when Jesus is talking about yokes here, he's talking about putting on a yoke to be a servant. Okay, and we're going to hold on in just a minute about the two, because there was something that's important. Well, I'll go ahead right now. Whenever a young oxen came along and he needed to be trained, he'd be put with an old oxen. And the old oxen had a steady path, and he just tread along. And the young oxen, he may not want to go, or he may want to charge ahead. But when he did, what would happen? Oh, my goodness. That wooden yoke would grab his neck, and it didn't take him long before he was got in agreement with the older ox, and he was trained to go at a certain pace. Now, that reminded me of Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they agree? And so when Jesus asked us, you know, come unto me and get yoked up with me, he wants us to get in agreement. And when we get in agreement with him, we'll come to rest.
That's good.
Okay, humble. Humble humility. Meekness is closely associated with humility. Meekness before God is a temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealing with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. All of these are biblical dictionary definitions. Humility, low, be brought low, lowliness of mind, make yourself low. It's what you're doing to yourself. It's not cowering under somebody. It's what you are doing to yourself. I put down here that it's to serve, esteeming others highly valuable. You know, when you esteem somebody highly valuable, it's easy to serve. It really is. And it's not degrading ourselves. We're not putting ourselves down. Oh, that was nothing. You know, it's not putting ourselves down at all. In fact, we think very highly of ourselves in the sense God made us to serve, and he's given us positions to serve. Proud. Pride is showing yourself above others, arrogant, disdainful, high-minded, used with words such as boast, vainglory, haughty. Now, this is not too good, but it's the truth. Pride is something every believer, every believer has to deal with in their Christian life. It's a big part of flesh that's controlled by the senses instead of the Spirit of God. In other words, I feel like doing this. Feel like doing that. And there are times like, I don't know why I'm remembering this. I shared this with somebody not long ago. When God, years ago, dealt with me about getting up in the mornings to have a time with Him. Now, that was something He asked me to do. And I thought it was my good idea at the time. It wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit. What I did was I decided I couldn't. I turned the alarm clock off and turned over. And so finally what I decided to do, because when I wake up, I put it over on the dresser so that when it went off, I got up, walked across, turned it off, and there I am. So did I feel like doing that? No. And I know many of you, there are other things. You could give good examples, better examples. But what I'm saying, there are things that as God is training us or growing up in Christ, and leading us into following the Holy Spirit, there are things that we don't feel like doing. That's senses. And it's pride. But here we go. It's falling off. We're growing up. Okay? Okay. The origin of pride. Satan was created the anointed cherub that covers. He was beautiful. This always gets me. He was full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. And that floors me every time I read that. He was lifted up because of his beauty, and he conceived in his heart to exalt himself above God. His pride deceived him. That's Obadiah 3. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. So let's look at that just a moment. He sees how beautiful he is. I mean, I don't have it. We're not going to go all over it, but you can. I mean, he is gorgeous. And he looks at himself and he thinks, you know, I am really good looking. And so he gets pride anytime, and this will help us to want to get pride out of our life. By Obadiah, this is a principle. Any pride in our life, there's some deception there. And so we want all the pride out of our life. So there's no deception. Now, he knew how God operated. He'd been seeing God. I don't know how many, whatever you call it, because it was timeless time. But in eternity, he knew how God, that he believed, he spoke words. And he decided, you know what? I am just going to believe, speak the words. And you know what? I'm going to exalt myself above God. And so then he proclaims, let's see, I think it's in here. I will exalt my throne. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. So he keeps saying, I will. The only thing was, God was not in agreement with him. We agree, we speak the word of God based on what he has said.
Yes.
And it comes forth. We have authority. He did not have the authority to do this. Yes. So what happened to him? He was cast down to the earth and cast, there was a hell created for him and his angels. So that's what happened to him. So this pride, self-exaltation, was conceived in the heart of Satan and is part of his nature. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he breathed his pride into their nature. He breathed independence. You won't need God anymore. You will be like him. They already were like him. They were created in his image. But the situation how we're created, we are created to live dependent, submitted, and obedient to God. That is how we're created. You know, if you buy a a car and you look at the manual, there are certain things you do if you're going to get it to operate correctly. And so that's how, and the second man that came, Jesus was the second man, to the Father, what was he? Was Jesus not dependent, submitted, and obedient to Father God? Amen. That's what Jesus was. He was the perfect man. So as born-again believers, we receive the nature of God. Part of that born-again nature is meekness. We have victory over pride through Jesus' victory, but it must be dealt with in our lives. Pride. The residue of pride is in our flesh, but we overcome. Praise God. Okay, now to the good part, the lamb. Our humility. Okay, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Philippians, there we go. Let this mind, how are you going to think, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a servant. And coming in the likeness of men and being found as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, things underneath the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise God. Notice these words again. Jesus the Lamb. He was equal with God. He was the Son, and he was, but he made of himself no reputation. He came down here and almost, there were several times he was asked, so he answered the question. But he called himself Son of Man. I mean, he just went around saying, I'm the Son of Man, I'm the Son of Man. And he didn't go around, there was no boasting in him. We're going to see some of the things he said about himself. He didn't. But he humbled himself, he became a servant. And one of the principles in the scripture is that whosoever humbled himself, he's going to be exalted. No one has ever humbled themselves like Jesus. There is no one that has so emptied himself and so served so many. You know, when you give it thought of the fact that there he was on the cross, and he was bearing the sin of every person that had ever existed or ever would exist. And my brain goes tilt. I know it's true, but my brain goes tilt. And not only that, because he was a sin offering, God had to pour out, it was judgment for our sins, but he poured out the judgment that should have come to us. He poured it that should have come to all of us before time, and I mean before Jesus and after Jesus. All that judgment was poured out on him. God's wrath was poured out on the body of Jesus. God couldn't look at him. God had to, it was turned dark. I mean, it went dark because of what Jesus was bearing for us. So, once again, he, at the cross, he humbled himself to the obedience of the cross. Now listen to this. These are quotes from Jesus, and I did not realize it until I realized it after I looked at it. They're all from John. So evidently, I'm thinking the disciple John. John, there's no, okay, I've studied the book of John before. John, I mean, it's like 99 times believe in John, and it's like 9 times in Mark and 9 times in Luke. He just way outnumbers as far as, another one is Father. Yes. In the book of John, Father, Father, Father. Jesus is revealing the Father. And here in this, you're finding John is showing Jesus is not taking credit for anything. Look at this. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. The Father who dwells in me, he does the works. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. So whatever I say is just what the Father told me to say. So you see that he gave complete credit. Everything he did, he knew it was that he had that relationship. Here we go. He had that relationship with the Father that he would see things. That he would see things ahead of time. The Father would tell him to do things ahead of time. And he knew that all he was doing, here we go, he was being submitted, obedient, and he was dependent on his Father to tell him what to say and what to do. Okay. So constantly, Jesus gave the Father credit. He was walking in humility. We need to be, and I want you to underline this, because it's an attitude of heart, not that you have to be thinking of it in your mind all the time. It's an attitude of heart. We need to be constantly aware. Underline that. Constantly aware in our hearts to give God credit for the ability that flows through us. We are aware that meekness and lowliness of heart. I think Paul probably put it best when he said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all. And then he says, but not I. It was the grace of God that was in me. He knew it was all by grace. He wasn't taking credit for all that he was doing. He knew he had tapped in to a relationship with Jesus. We know that Jesus, like, okay, Jesus gave him instructions about communion. Jesus did, because he says it very clearly in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He says very clearly, the Lord told me or whatever. And he didn't get it from the disciples. Okay? He got it straight from Jesus. Yes. He had a relationship with Jesus. So that's what Paul knew, it was grace. The Lord came to do what we could not do. Jesus delivered us from pride. We could never have done that, y'all. Our old nature, which had pride, was nailed to that cross, hallelujah, and died there, hallelujah. In the born-again spirit, he imparted his meekness. He made us partakers of the treasure he procured. He came to bring us his humility. Now, there are things, and I'm sure you, when you first started and you'd learned about the Holy Spirit showed me was I was feeding my spirit, okay? But I can remember, I don't remember the date, but I remember the event when I was quoting about Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And I said, Jesus, you gave me your peace. I'm peaceful. And I just started laughing because I was like Sarah. I was. It was like, oh, that is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But it's the truth. I was feeding my heart the truth. The truth is he did leave me his peace. I am peaceful. I have the peace of God, and if I let the peace of God rule my heart, then yes, I will rise above the disease. I will be at ease. Amen. Right? I will be at ease. Okay. So he shed his blood. His shed blood was a result of his meekness. He imparts his meekness to us when we're born again. In Jesus' blood is the ability for true submission to the Father. What I want you to see is we don't have to work what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. Yes. We don't have to work this thing up of changing. Yes. It's in us, but we've got to realize it's there. Like the peace. I was telling you about the peace. We have to realize that humility of Jesus Christ is in us. Through that blood, that meekness is working. This is the truth. That blood is working every moment in living power in us. Amen. Humility is working. I mean, it is working as long as we don't stop it with what we have to say. Okay. Amen. This meekness is of great price in the sight of God. The NIV says great worth, precious is the NAS. Mm-hmm. The that God delights in is the Message Bible. And that's talking about women, but let me tell you, men, you don't get out. That's talking about women when it says for the woman to be adorned, not merely the plaiting of the hair, putting on the gold, wearing apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, the meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of great price. Well, men, y'all are not left out. Okay? Let that meek spirit be in you too. Okay, nourishing the humility within us. In teaching so many times in the past, I've numbered like, you know, here are five things. Well, what I've learned is over the years, there are many things. So I'm not putting any numbers out here, but I will tell you some things that I know from the Scripture that will cultivate humility in us, okay? As we fellowship with the Lord in the Word and in prayer, we're fellowshipping with the Lamb. You may have not thought of it that way, but we are. And in 1 Corinthians 3:18, it's off. Okay, so you've got to listen to my voice. But it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image.
Praise God.
Praise God, that's right. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to go back over that. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, as we're walking with the Lord and we're having our time in prayer, and the Lord will kind of, He talks with us. And He tells us changes that we might need to make, or even shows us something really wonderful that it's like, wow, like the peace. And you're looking at that, and He's saying, yes, you do have peace. You can live in peace at all times. You can let peace rule your hearts at all times. And our Lamb, I imagine, He is peace personified. And when I think about the fact he never opened his mouth.
Right.
He never opened his mouth when he was going through the trial.
Yeah.
When he was going through all the torture.
Yes.
He never opened his mouth, and he was at peace. That Lamb was at peace for us. And we start seeing that peace. And it becomes an image in us. And the thing, yeah, all of us have done this, where you're in a position in the spirit that the things below you, how I would explain it, because the Lord showed me this. We were when we were moving to Texas in, let's see, that was 86. When we were moving to Texas in 86, we came here to look for a home in I think it was February or March. But y'all had, it was cold. Oh my gosh, it's cold down here. And when we left and we were in Arkansas, we were having snow. I mean, I didn't even know if we were going to get to the airport. It was snowing that much. And on the airport, we didn't know if the plane was going to even take off to come down to Texas, where it was going to be warm. And so anyway, what happened was that when we ascended through the snow, and I mean, it was thick. It was really thick stuff. And we went up into the clouds, and we got above those clouds, and there was this nice white cloud, blue sky, sunshine. And that's what it's like when we're walking in the peace of God.
Yes.
And the things that are going on around us, they're there. We're aware of it. But because God, we have gotten into the Spirit.
Yes.
There's that peace. And it's just like the blue sky and the sun shining. And so, but as we're with Him, studying the Word, reading the Word, praying, we're actually spending time with the Lamb, and we helps to take on that image. Also, we find out in this, we find out who we are in Christ.
Yes.
As we're studying, we find out who we are in Christ, and we find out the Holy Spirit's our helper, and He's going to empower us and help us to walk this out. It's not us doing it. As we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are led into a place of submission. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I need to let you know here, sons of God, there are two Greek words for the sons of God. The first one is when we're born again, we're sons of God. Mm-hmm. We're babies. We're born again. All of us, well, really, it doesn't make any difference whether we are, how old we are in Christ. There's a second son, and this is the son that this is talking about, is that you've developed where you're showing, you're starting to show characteristics of your Lord, where there's a Christ-like spirit showing forth from your, how you, your life, how you're living your life. Another thing, and this one is very dear to me, is that as we worship and magnify the Lamb for who He is and what He has done, we become like the Lamb we worship. Now, the principle is Psalm 119, and it's not talking about God. Psalm 115. In Psalm 115, what it's talking about is idols. And it says, you make the idols and they've got ears, they don't hear. Mm-hmm. They've got a mouth, they don't speak. They've got eyes, they don't see. Mm-hmm. But He says, those that make them are like them. So what we worship, we become like. That's a principle. And when we worship the Lord, and it all of us have done this, in worshiping the Lord, it's like opening a door, and you go in and you see a few things. But as you continue in your worship, there are other things you see as well that you've never seen before. I mean, it's in worship. I had this happen, but I've heard a lot of other people say this. In worship, like when we get in worship on Sunday mornings, the Lord started talking to me. Mm-hmm. I've stopped and written things down before because I am worshiping Him, and He just starts communicating back with me. So that's another way to nurture that humility within us. When Paul, the last we're going to go over is the Lamb bids us come. When Paul had asked God three times to remove the thorn in his flesh, which was a messenger from Satan, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm going to read that again. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That power there, I used it in some translation. It says strength, but it's dunamis. It's the same power where He says, and dunamis power is God power. It's miracle working power. It's God's ability, efficiency, and might. It's His. And He's saying when we allow God, really that's what we do. He wants us to walk in His strength. But we have to open the door and consent for Him to come in and yes. walk in that power. I wanted to read, this is a Greek rendering of this verse. I like this. "My grace is all you need, because the gift of my supernatural power," that's dunamis, "blooms in the places where you realize you're weak. My enablement rushes in to fill the gaps where you acknowledge You can't do it in your own strength. You know, that's it, the whole life. We need a Savior. Jesus came as our Savior. He came to be our strength. But we have to allow Him. The verse that Pastor Scott ended up on Sunday morning. I mean, he learned this way long ago. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you look up that strengthen, do you know that means in dunamis? So in other words, that dunamis power, which is miracle working power, it's not strength, human strength. We're not talking about human ability. We're talking about God's ability in us. So I'm going to end it with Matthew 11:28-30. And so this is the Message Bible. And why I chose this is because it talks about the rhythms of grace. And I'm thinking about those oxen. You remember I started off by saying servant oxen, and the young oxen has to learn the strength, has to learn the pace and the rhythm of that older oxen. And we too, in the Spirit, have to learn that rhythm of the Holy Spirit leading us in Christ. We learned that. So this is what it says. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. I want to finish it by something that the Lord just put upon me after I was studying all this. In these last days, miracles, signs, wonders are coming forth. We know that. God will flow through us. So as we yield to His leading to serve, depending on His grace, He will make us able. Amen. And thank y'all for letting me share. Okay, back to you, Ben.
Oh. I can't add nothing to that. That was awesome. Thank you. I mean, that's a real teaching gift. Amen. All I gotta say is, you know, the humble get the grace, you know, and what we're learning, you know, the pride get rejected, but the humble get the grace, and that's all, we all need the grace, and we need more of it, amen? Amen. So I just wanted to close out with prayer. Take your notes, read them again. This was awesome. Thank you so much. Father, we just come to you, and we just thank you for the word of God that was taught tonight. Talk to us richly, Lord. We just thank you, Father. We put it in our heart. We learn to yield. We learn to humble. We learn to put down, to put away the opinions, the thoughts of ourselves, and yield to more and more of you, Lord, to serve you. So I just thank you for more of your grace coming into our life. We need it. We just thank you for it. We just thank you for your protection and safety over all of us, your angels around about us as we travel. As pastors come, as they're traveling, we just thank you, Father. We just thank you for the good things that you're doing here at this church, how you're building this church, how you're putting it all together. I thank you for this house, for the family, God, that we have here. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.